Welcome to What Matters in North Carolina. It's Monday, the day before the election. Wow, it is actually upon us, folks. Just think, about 30 hours, we can get back to pictures of your friends' cats and what they ate for dinner on your Facebook feed. Your Twitter will be all about sports, and all of those crazy ads will be off the television and off the radio. I know that you're happy about that, and I am too. Well, my name is Mark Shiver. So glad to have you listening to our podcast. We have a packed show today for you, and I'm really excited about it. We're going to talk to Mayor James Robertson of Knightdale in our Mayor Monday segment. And Knightdale is my town, so we'll be talking to my mayor, finding out about the amazing growth that Knightdale has been through over the past several years. And then we'll also catch back up with our good friend, Mayor B.J. Murphy. He is the mayor of Kinston. And, you know, we're committed to not forgetting about those folks down east that had such a hard time with Hurricane Matthew. And so we'll get an update from him, what the needs are there, and how you and I can help. And also, we will be talking with Tanya Baker Nelson, an update from her. As you might remember, we spoke with her a few months ago, and her business, her agency, her organization, Helping Hands Pregnancy Center, wanted to move next door to a piece of property that, well, the next door neighbor was an abortion clinic, and that didn't seem to go over very well between the clinic and the City Council of Raleigh. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the City Council has changed their minds, and they have decided to let Hand of Hope Pregnancy Resource Center move in next door to a preferred women's health center. So we'll talk to Tanya Baker Nelson about how that happened and what to expect going forward. And then, to kick things off, we have got a very special guest. Laura Trump will make a return appearance, joining us once again here on What Matters in North Carolina. And I spoke with her yesterday morning, and quite frankly, she was equally as impressive then as she was the very first time we had a conversation. So thank you very much for listening to What Matters in North Carolina. Got a huge show for you today, so we'll get out of the way and get right to it. Well, it's a pleasure once again to welcome to What Matters in North Carolina, Laura Trump. Laura, welcome back. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Mark. I can't believe we are less than a day away from this thing.
Well, I know, be honest, you're pretty tired, or are you energized?
You know, I think I'd be lying if I didn't say that we were all tired. We've all been working so hard across the country, across the state here, actually, quite a bit. But we all are very excited, I think, like the rest of the country, to see what happens on Tuesday, and we feel really good about it.
Well, you were in North Carolina. You've been in North Carolina, and the whole campaign, it seems like, has made this their second home. Of course, the Clinton campaign is doing the same thing. This state really has emerged as a must-win.
Oh, you're exactly right. I mean, North Carolina is such an important state in this election. And, you know, whenever my father-in-law announced he was running for president, I made it very clear, look, this is my home state. I want to get involved. I want to help as much as I can. And, you know, it's really been nice to be able to come back here, to come back home and see friends and family and campaign on behalf of my father-in-law because, you know, I feel like I, as a North Carolinian, I know the people of our state, and it's been a really special experience.
Well, you were in Wilmington, and then you went to Carter Finley Stadium and caught a little football, you and Eric. I know that had to be fun.
It was so much fun. You know, I went to NC State, and we were winning while we were there, and then we lost in the last couple minutes to Florida State. But I'll tell you, the reception that we got there at the NC State game was absolutely incredible. It took us about an hour and a half to get from our car into the stadium because so many people wanted to stop, tell us that they have either already voted or are going to vote for Donald Trump on Tuesday, wanted to take photos, shake our hands. And I really think it speaks to the fact that people across this country are so excited to vote for change, to vote for a man that they know has their best interest at heart, that is doing this for the right reasons. And I got to tell you, we were so surprised and excited by the turnout that we got, people just saying hi to us at NC State at the game.
Our guest here on What Matters in North Carolina, none other than Laura Trump. And Laura, you have just concluded, I believe, the Women for Trump tour. How did that go?
Oh my gosh, it was incredible. You know, it actually began very organically. It was a group of women and myself who know Donald Trump all in very different ways, but know the man, you know, behind Donald Trump and know who he is. And we kept hearing about how there was an issue with women and women weren't sure they were voting for Donald Trump, and this narrative about him as it relates to women that we said we don't agree with. And so we, a couple of months ago, decided to go out on the road and talk to voters, talk to women. And I have to tell you, the response that we got has been nothing short of incredible. Women coming up to us constantly saying, we don't know what people are talking about. Every woman we know is voting for Donald Trump. And I think that's really because at the end of the day, it's insulting for women to think that we would vote for a candidate because of gender. We would vote for a candidate because we want to see the first woman in the White House. And we will see that one day, I'm sure. But we cannot elect a woman like Hillary Clinton in the White House. It would be such a disaster and really set such a poor tone for women across the board. We can do so much better than that. And that's really the message we've heard quite a bit as we've been out on the road.
Laura Trump, our guest, and it's interesting that you make that point about women. One of my colleagues here at the Civitas Institute early on wrote an article, and she's a woman, and she said, not this woman. I mean, you know, it just seems that, yeah, America would love to have a woman president, but a lot of people are saying not this woman.
Well, that's exactly right. And you look at not only Hillary Clinton's lackluster track record, the fact that she really has accomplished nothing as in 30 some odd years that she's been in office, but now we have the first candidate for president, not that's just a woman, that is under criminal investigation. That is a real serious problem. You see WikiLeaks emails coming out daily showing the corruption and the collusion behind the scenes with the Clintons and their campaign, and it's really disgusting. And it's sort of despicable, really, that this woman can even be eligible to run for the highest office in the land, because she's going to have so many problems if she were to get elected. She would not have time to focus on the American people, on her job. It's just really such a shame, and we can do so much better as a country. And, you know, as a gender, we want to see a woman representing us as women in the White House one day, but exactly right, just not this one.
Our guest, Laura Trump. And Laura, when you were here before, I asked you to talk about some of the things that are important in North Carolina, and that was about 4 months ago. So I want to find out now, you have been in the state a lot. You are in the state. You've been talking to people, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people you have touched one-on-one. What are some of the major concerns that you are hearing about from people in your home state?
Well, I think that we'd be remiss if we didn't address Obamacare, because the premiums in North Carolina are going up, you know, in numbers we would never have ever seen before. It's unprecedented, and people are really getting hurt by the health care in this country. I have people in this state that are telling me they're taking on 2 and 3 different jobs just to have health care for their families, and that's unacceptable. That is not how America is supposed to work. That is not what was promised to us with Obamacare. It's hurting so many people, and I think especially in North Carolina, I'm hearing about jobs, because, you know, this state has been hard hit. The manufacturing has gone out of the state. People are really hurting for jobs. They're not able to get full-time jobs. They're having to make do on part-time jobs, and it's not acceptable. It's not okay. This is what Donald Trump is running on. The core of his campaign has been about jobs and national security, the economy. Small business owners I get coming up to me all the time talking about how hard it is to keep their business afloat because, you know, it's just not set up for people to succeed in this country. And it's because we haven't had people running the country that understand business, that understand money, that understand how things should work. And Donald Trump wants to change all that. So it's been an honor, really, to represent him across my home state and across the country because people are hurting and they need real change.
Laura Trump, one thing that I had General Michael Flynn on the other day, and I asked him this, and I wanted to get your take. You don't get to be a billionaire in this world by, you know, just relying on your own intellect, even though it's been proven time and again that Donald Trump has excellent instincts when it comes to real estate and that sort of thing. But certainly he has people that he relies on for good advice. And I said to General Flynn, you know, people are curious about what kind of a commander-in-chief he would be, but I would think that he would surround himself with smart people just like he very likely does in business. Am I correct there? I mean, you know, I think.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you know, something else that he has always had a talent for, aside from great real estate deals and business deals, the fact that he actually has a knack for picking people that are going to do great jobs. And these are people that sometimes would never be given a shot. You know, some of the top executives at the Trump Organization started as doormen, as drivers. And these are people who he saw something in and said, I think you're going to do a great job at this. I'm going to give you a shot. And I think he would do the exact same thing as a president. He would surround himself with people that are the most knowledgeable, that are going to be truthful with him, that are going to have the experience necessary to make these big decisions for our country. And you're exactly right. Look, he has a great knack for, you know, real estate and business, but he also has this knack for choosing the right people for jobs and putting them in place and allowing them to flourish. And that really speaks to the man that he is.
Well, I know that you are on a busy schedule, so I don't want to take up all of your time this morning, but I hit you with this. I don't know if you remember because you've done so many interviews, but I'm going to ask you this again. I'm going to put you on a sidewalk. Laura Trump, you've got a brochure in your hand that says Vote Trump Pence, and I'm walking up, and I've got a big undecided label on my head. What would you tell me?
Well, what I would tell you is that, you know, this is not an election like any we've ever seen. This is an election about change. Are you better off than you were 8 years ago? Did you get the raise that you wanted? Did you get the job that you wanted? Did, you know, your health care premiums go down? How are you feeling about the safety of this country, about the future for your children? And if you want more of the same, then you can vote for Hillary Clinton. But if you believe that this country is headed in a very scary direction and you want to see real change, you want to see the American dream revive, you want to see businesses come back to this country, you want to make sure that we are safe, then you should vote for Donald Trump. And I really think when people get in the voting booth on Tuesday and they think back on what this election means to the future of this country, and they think about the platforms laid out by my father-in-law, I really think they're going to vote for Donald Trump.
You know, let me just tag one more final thing there. What was interesting to me is there was no personality, Laura mentioned in that, no attacking of the other side. You've really made this thing about legitimate issues that Americans should be concerned with.
Well, it is, and it's sad because this entire election cycle, you've seen the media try and play up the attack. And they've tried to play up the temperament of my father-in-law or, you know, things that have happened 15 years ago to point out that maybe people should question his ability to run this country. And this is about the issues. This is about the fact that Donald Trump has stood for the same thing since day one. And Hillary Clinton, unfortunately, has to rely on Katy Perry and performers to come out and gather crowds for her because she's such a lackluster candidate. Because we have seen her track record. We know what she stands for. Donald Trump has stood for the American people since day one, and he has focused on the issues, but they've tried to sideline him. And I think as we come to a close here, as we're one day away from this election, I think that people are realizing that this is about the issues and this is about the future of our country. And it's very easy for me to make the case for Donald Trump because he's done it for himself the whole time.
Well, Laura Trump, you are very gracious. You are an excellent representative of not only the campaign, but of your family. And we appreciate all that you are doing. And we appreciate you being our guest once again on What Matters in North Carolina. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Great to talk to you.
All right. Joining us now on What Matters in North Carolina, good friend of the program, Mayor B.J. Murphy from Kinston. And Mayor Murphy, welcome back.
It's good to be with you, Mark. Thanks for having me on again.
Well, wanted to touch base with you and find out how the recovery is going in Kinston and other areas down there in eastern North Carolina in the aftermath of Hurricane Matthew.
Well, I will tell you, Mark, that this past week, the King's Barbecue Restaurant in Kinston opened up, so a lot of folks from Triangle to the coast are very familiar with King's Barbecue. And, of course, a couple weeks ago, the new sports shop opened up, so some businesses are getting back to normal, but then we have some areas like the Hampton Inn is still trying to recover. We have some other pockets of businesses that are still out of business and people out of work. So we still have our work cut out for us.
Well, I imagine folks were glad to get some of that good barbecue for sure.
Yes, sir. In fact, last week, Governor McCrory's state budget director, Drew Heath, came and paid us a visit. And that was really nice because, you know, with his job, he needs to be in Raleigh quite a bit. But to have him come and not only give the city and county and business leaders an update, but also get out and explore some of the residential areas and business areas impacted by Hurricane Matthew was really nice, because they're in the midst of projecting a timeline of working with state legislators, working with the federal government on how they're going to expend their $1.6 billion rainy day fund, and also what kind of funds would be reimbursed by the federal government. So it was really nice having him and his team in town last week.
I can imagine. Our guest, Mayor B.J. Murphy of Kinston, talking about Hurricane Matthew and the town and areas in eastern North Carolina recovering. Now, kind of a little troubling headline in yesterday's, or Saturday's, News and Observer, rather. It says, a trickle of volunteers, not enough to handle the needs of survivors after Hurricane Matthew. And I guess sort of the dynamic of this is that you have an event and there's a lot of initial response, people giving money, people willing to come and help and volunteer. But then people who were not affected, they go back to their daily lives as usual, and that dynamic sort of fades a little bit. Are you finding that that's the case there, that people have kind of petered out in their volunteering and helping?
Well, I could tell you that I could see in theory how that would happen, but I will tell you that we have not been the victim of that, the volunteer fatigue yet. I will tell you that just last week we had a crew from the Mormon Church from Virginia area and the Triangle. We had we have the Hope Community Church in the Triangle bring in loads of at least two truckloads worth of goods, and we're setting up times for volunteers to come. I was continuing to send volunteer groups to the Nature Center, because that's an area that is visited by over 200,000 people a year, our planetarium nature center there. So maybe that is happening in some areas, and I could see in theory how that would work. But I will tell you that from my perspective, it hasn't happened in Kinston yet. In fact, as you know, the Governor McCrory, who honestly, in my opinion, did an excellent job throughout this hurricane and still is in giving us updates on what's happening, created this Hurricane Matthew Recovery Committee, and that is basically using the North Carolina Disaster Relief Fund to help offset some expenses. Well, even this Sunday in Raleigh, several groups have gotten together and putting together this Sunday supper, which is going to see 1,000 people right there on two blocks of Fayetteville Street, is simply to raise money for their neighbors here in eastern North Carolina. So I expect that to be pre-sold. I expect there to be a lot of money, hundreds of thousands, maybe even $1 million or $2 raised for the Hurricane Relief Fund. And I'm looking forward to that. In fact, I'm going to be there that Sunday. In fact, that website is SundaySupperNC.org this Sunday in Raleigh.
Yeah, that's been getting quite a bit of attention, and I think that that's pretty cool that that's going to be taking place. A lot of people getting together to see what they can do to help. Now, FEMA is saying that they're offering or posting actually temporary jobs to help in the recovery effort, because they need people. Are some of those jobs in Kinston, or is that elsewhere?
There are a couple of groups, one being the NC Works Commission, which I am a board member of the NC Works Commission. They have put together they have received a disaster relief employment grant, and it's going to be helpful for many of the counties impacted by the hurricane. So, and some examples of jobs that they'll have will be engineers to carpenter helpers to truck drivers to you name it. And there will be jobs available through the process. In fact, all you've got to do is reach out to your local NC Works Career Center, or you can go to ncworks.gov and find information on that. But yeah, there are some jobs for people who have been displaced because of Hurricane Matthew, or have had extended long-term unemployment. There are some opportunities for our citizens to take advantage of some jobs related to the hurricane relief and recovery efforts.
Our guest is Mayor B.J. Murphy, the mayor of Kinston, North Carolina, talking about recovery after Hurricane Matthew. Now, The governor has called for, or at least floated the idea of a special legislative session. Do you have you gotten any inside information on that? Is that going to happen, or is that still in the planning stages?
I will tell you, based on our update by Andrew Heath, the state budget director, the other day, they're anticipating Congress is reconvening November 14th. And so based on that timeline, they are anticipating a special session of the North Carolina General Assembly sometime in late November, probably early December, as of right now. And certainly the regular session of the General Assembly starts on January, I believe it's January 11th, if I'm not mistaken. So, yes, sir, they're still anticipating that to happen. And right now, kind of what Andrew Heath, the Governor of Corey State Budget Director, was doing the other day was just getting a not just a bird's-eye view, but a definitely our perspective view of what's happening so they can continue to work on a policy that represents our needs and something that they can fulfill. So can't thank the General Assembly and Governor Corey enough for having a, you know, $1.5 billion. Well, I mean, what's $0.1 billion? I mean, $1.6 billion in a rainy day fund because, I mean, let's just face it, it rained, and it rained a lot, and
yeah,
we're
really
going to need it from small business assistance to housing needs to agricultural concerns, public health concerns, local government assistance. We're going to need those. We're going to need access to those funds.
Well, hopefully that will be a process that doesn't get bogged down in any kind of bureaucratic stuff, but are churches getting involved in the way that you think that is a positive, Mayor Murphy? Are they stepping up and kind of walking out what they've been preaching?
Absolutely, they have. In fact, before we could ever say that we needed something, a bunch of different churches were grouping together to form a donation and distribution center at the Vernon Park Mall in the old Expressions building, and that's still active today. It's serving about 100, 200 people a day right now. And I believe when I spoke to them last week, they're planning to stay open for at least another week or two as people transition through this recovery phase and are getting the FEMA help. I will tell you, Mark, that one issue that I have noticed over the past couple, past few days is we're finding that there's some people who've just kind of slipped through the cracks where they have either reached out for assistance or haven't. And like I had a friend in Greenville send me a text about somebody who lives here. She has five kids, no house, no lights, no clothes, no food. And I'm just absolutely distraught over this. I send that message to two people. Within 24 hours, we had her a place to stay, warm food, clothes, toys. And I got a message from a radio station this morning here in the East that said there's this guy who had flood insurance, but he hasn't received enough assistance. He's sleeping in his car, and
oh my.
I think we've already got a team working on that. But anybody out there who may know of somebody who's in dire need of help, please let us know so that we can reach out to them, making sure their needs are met.
Is there a central phone number that you can give out that they could do that?
It's certainly anybody can call Kinston City Hall. That's 252-939-3115 is our city clerk's office, and the city clerk works very closely with me. 252-939-3115. Certainly, I'm fairly accessible on social media. On Facebook and Twitter, it's at BJMurphy360, so someone can send me a direct message or tag me in a post or something. It's BJMurphy360. But, I mean, I'm very – we want to make sure that no one else slips through the cracks, that no one goes hungry, that no one goes without lights or without a blanket because, you know, last night was, what, 40-some degrees outside, so it was a chilly night. So we want to make sure our people are taken care of.
Now, speaking of social media and Twitter, I'm looking at a post you made a little less than an hour ago, Motivational Mail Monday at Northeast Elementary, and looks like a good group of kids here, Mayor, and it says that they were focusing on helping the community.
Yes, sir. So the Northeast Elementary School is a school that really needs to continue to have male mentors pour their heart and soul into these young men, and the principal there is a great friend of ours, and she's also a city council member, and about a month or two ago, she asked for 100 men to show up for a day of 100 men who care. We had almost 250 men to show up, And from that, she started these motivational mail Mondays. And so she's doing it the first Monday of every month. So today we did it, and there's probably 300 young men in there. And today we talked about ways we can help our community, serve our community. We talked about the power of community. And a lot of these young men, Mark, honestly, were impacted one way or another by Hurricane Matthew. So to see these young men come up with a list of, you know, I want to clean my neighbor's yard or help an old lady take groceries inside or feed the homeless, it's a great exercise for these 5 to 11-year-olds. So, yeah, I encourage people to go to my Twitter feed, BJMurphy360, and see that link and see the faces and the smiles of these kids who understand or trying to get a better understanding of what community really means.
Well, Mayor Murphy, what else can our listeners do? If you had one thing that you wish you had right now, other than everything being, you know, magically back to normal by the time we hung up, what's something tangible that our listeners can do, and how would they reach out to you guys in order to do that?
Well, I appreciate you offering that, and you mentioned tangible. I'll first ask that your listeners continue to remember those impacted by this in their prayers, in their thoughts. And in terms of tangible, I will tell you that this may sound odd, but what we really need is cash into the hands of these nonprofits that are really doing the work. Like in Kinston, there's a group called I-Corps, and they're really all about helping someone meet ends meet if their lights get cut off or their food run out of their pantry. To Salvation Army does good work. United Way does good work. I mean, when you start getting into the knee-deep into these organizations, they really need cash from outside the area to help with their efforts. And that's why I love what's happening this Sunday in Raleigh with the Sunday Supper. That's what it's exactly designed for, is basically neighbors helping neighbors, serving their friends in the East. And so I really would encourage people to go to SundaySupperNC.org, get a ticket, become a sponsor, and help with the Hurricane Matthew relief efforts.
All right. Well, we will encourage people to do that as well. Mayor B.J. Murphy, always a pleasure to have you on What Matters in North Carolina, and we will look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Thank you, Mark.
All right. Thank you, sir. Well, I really like Mayor Murphy, and I think he's doing a good job giving direction and, you know, inspiring confidence in the people down there. It was massive, 28.3 feet, if you remember that, folks. The water was high. The Neuse River down there just, it overflowed. And Mayor Murphy is doing his very best to help the people of Kinston get back on their feet. And so we encourage you to do what you can to help, and we would appreciate that very much. We're going to take a quick timeout, and we'll be back with the very interesting case of a pregnancy resource center and an abortion clinic. You're listening to What Matters in North Carolina.
Are you a gun guy? Are you a gun girl? Do you know the difference between a clip and a magazine? Have you gotten into more arguments about 9mm, 40, and 45 than you care to admit? Then you need to go over to the Freedom Action Network and check out the NC Gun Dad Show, where we talk about guns, gear, accessories, and a whole lot more every week. I'm Matt Calder, and I was just another gun guy until the birth of my daughter. Then I became the NC Gun Dad. Join us weekly for a new episode of the NC Gun Dad Show, uploaded every Friday at www.freedomactionnetwork.com, and then click on the NC Gun Dad Show.
It's our pleasure to welcome back to What Matters in North Carolina, Tanya Baker Nelson. She is the executive director of Hand of Hope Pregnancy Centers, and she has some good news. Tanya, welcome back to What Matters in North Carolina.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate you having me on again.
Well, on, I guess, Thursday or Friday, it looked like some surprising news, at least to me anyway. The headline at the News and Observer in Raleigh said, in a reversal, anti-abortion group gets okay to open next to abortion clinic in Raleigh. Why don't you tell us what happened?
Right. So basically what happened was as a result of our federal lawsuit, some new indications that there might be a possible way to open our space using kind of a different route for the rezoning process, since we were technically considered under the same guidelines and regulations, much like a church would be, or a civic organization like a Kiwanis Club, something like that. The city of Raleigh recognized that we do have a legal right to occupy our space since we fall under those regulations. So there's a 30-day appeal process that's going to take place as soon as the property owners immediately within 100 feet of our property are notified. So that's kind of, you know, we're kind of waiting for that to happen.
Now, Tanya, in terms of the abortion clinic that is next door, what is that? Is Preferred Women's Health Center?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so they were objecting initially to you guys being next door?
Correct. Yeah, they didn't really want us to occupy that space.
Now, I believe, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but last time we had you on, you had mentioned that your organization is really not out there approaching people who may be walking into the other facility and you know, doing some things intimidating and that sort of thing. That's not what y'all are about, correct?
Not at all. Not at all. Here's the thing, Mark, about what we do at Hand of Hope Pregnancy Centers. We don't force these women to walk through our door. None of these women that are in the middle of making this pregnancy decision are intimidated and bullied to walk through our door. Everything that we do is always welcoming and inviting, and we truly believe that these men and these women that walk through our door, we believe that God brought them to us for a reason. Now, does that mean they all choose to continue their pregnancy? No, they don't. A lot of them do choose to abort their child. But the thing about it is, you know, that's the beautiful thing about who Jesus Christ is, that he died for us knowing that we were sinners. He died for us knowing the sins that we would commit, and he died for us anyway. So we look at every single woman and every single man that we are privileged to meet as somebody that is uniquely created in the image of God, and that God really wanted us to meet, wanted us to get to know her, to try to develop that relationship with her so that we could introduce her to Christ sometimes for the very first time in her life, and sometimes just to reintroduce him to who he is.
Well, it sounds like you definitely have a clear mission statement and know what you're doing and what you want to do in terms of, you know, because we've seen in the past there are some people who are against abortion who are very aggressive and, you know, try to intimidate women who may have made that decision to terminate
right.
the life of their child in the womb.
But right.
I think it was clearly important that our listeners realize that that's not what you guys, a Hand of Hope, are all about. And
no.
So the people next door, did they say what their biggest objection was to you being there?
Well, my personal opinion is their biggest objection to us being there is that light shines brightest in the darkness, and that's a dark little corner right there. And so they don't like the light that we're going to shine there and that we are not even remotely thinking about hiding. You know, that's who Christ is. So that's my personal opinion, the reason they don't want to stay. I'm sure they'll have, you know, some other explanations and reasoning behind the reason why they don't want us there. But at the end of the day, it's because light shines brightest in the darkness, and they don't like it. That's the way it is. And yeah, to answer your question, you know, a forced relationship, Mark, never lasts. A forced relationship, no matter the situation, never lasts. So we don't, I think it was Anne Graham Lotz that I heard her say this for the very first time. She said that Jesus Christ is the ultimate gentleman. He never goes where he's not wanted. So, and that's the way we look at a lot of the relationships that we begin. We just make sure that they know, hey, this is what we have to offer. This is who we are. This is who Christ is. We're not trying to bully you into making a decision you don't want to make, and we're not trying to intimidate you into keeping your baby. You know, I've never really, honestly, in the 11 years that I've been doing this, I've yet to meet a single woman who was forced to keep her baby. But I have met hundreds upon hundreds of women who were forced to abort their baby. So, you know, that's just a different approach to all of it. We don't try to intimidate anybody into coming into our centers, because I really truly don't think the Lord blesses that. You know, he's not going to go where he's not wanted. So we let the Holy Spirit do his job and we do ours.
So now in the article, and you had mentioned the organization, there could be an appeal. So who would be appealing that? Would it be the business next door or just any citizen that wanted to?
Yeah. Right. From what I understand, the abortion clinic has said that they would appeal. So we'll wait and see, you know. Maybe they will, maybe they won't, but hopefully they won't. But if they do, that's totally fine, too. They have a right to do that. And we'll just let the process, the legal process, play out the way it was intended to play out.
Have you talked with the folks at the abortion clinic?
I have reached out to them a couple of times. I did get one of their employees did say that they would join me for coffee so we could have a conversation about what was going on and what the next steps were and everything else. I've yet to be able to secure that date for that coffee conversation, but, you know, I'm certainly willing to talk to them because I think I really truly believe that, and actually I have actually invited them to come over and take a tour of our center. Let me show them what we do on a daily basis. Let me show them why we offer our services for free. And so maybe that would give them a little bit of a glimpse into the differences between us caring for these men and these women and these babies simply because of who they are in God's creation, created in God's image, rather than a business transaction. You know, that we're not invested in them monetarily. We're invested in them because God created them for more. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask you one other question here, and maybe you haven't made this decision yet or not, but it said Nelson declined to say whether Hand of Hope would drop their lawsuit. I guess you're waiting to see if they appeal or...
Right. Right now, our goal is just to occupy our space. That's what we're focused on right now. We'll let the lawsuit kind of, play out, and, everything seems to change on a daily basis with this whole rezoning thing. So right now, we really are focused on, just occupying our space. So the lawsuit is just another conversation altogether.
And do the members of city council, have any of them talked to you and tried to get some clarity on what's going on?
No, I've never had a personal conversation, a telephone conversation, an email conversation with any of the members of the city council. I would love to have one. I would, welcome that for sure. You know, just so they get some, straight from the horse's mouth kind of thing to know, who we are, what we do, and why we do it.
Right.
So,
Well, Tanya Baker Nelson, thank you very much for being with us here on What Matters in North Carolina. We appreciate you giving us a firsthand update on your efforts to work with the Raleigh City Council, and it looks like they have changed their mind on allowing you to occupy that space. So we wish you the best going forward, and thank you very much.
Sure. Thank you, Mark. I really, really appreciate the opportunity to share more about who Hand of Hope is and what the great work we do here in Raleigh.
Well, you're very welcome. We look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye. Joining us now is the mayor of the town of Knightdale, Mayor James Robertson. Welcome to the program, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on the program.
Well, as I had mentioned to you when we were talking about having you on, we'd like to go around the state, do a segment that we call Mayor Monday, and we talk to various mayors and find out what makes their towns special and some of the challenges that they face when, being a mayor of a small town versus being a mayor of a large city like Raleigh or Charlotte, although I don't know that Knightdale is a small town anymore. It's been growing like crazy, hasn't it?
Knightdale has been growing tremendously, and of course, we're thankful for that growth. Of course, anytime you experience this type of growth, you have what we call growing pains, and that's not a bad thing. But you just, I think it's important as local leaders that we plan accordingly and just try to be prepared for this wonderful growth that we are experiencing. Because when that happens, of course, everybody benefits from it. And so we're really excited about the growth that we are experiencing. Some years ago, Knightdale was deemed one of the fastest growing municipalities in the state. And so we're really fortunate to be where we are, to be where we're located, because it has provided us an opportunity to develop and establish wonderful relationships with other members of the Wake County community.
Our guest is Mayor James Robertson of Knightdale. And Mayor, I don't know if you know this or not, but back in the early 2000s, I served as chairman of the Knightdale Land Use Review Board. And at that time, Knightdale was just on the edge of one of the largest commercial developments that it had ever experienced in the big Widewaters shopping center and other things like that. And I was thinking in preparation for talking to you that that's been about 12 or so years ago. And at that time, there was a 25-year growth plan. And Knightdale's about halfway through that, aren't they?
Yes, we are, and we're really excited about it. It's because of folks like yourself who have served on LURB. Again, it goes back to my earlier statement in terms of preparation, and part of that being prepared is folks like yourself or members of the community to serve on the various committees and boards that are looking forward down the road to see where we need to go, how we need to do it, and how we need to address some of the challenges that may come along with the growth.
Now, in terms of commercial development, it looks like Knightdale has really managed that growth pretty effectively, because even when you drive into town now, of course, 540 crosses Knightdale Boulevard right there, which gives great access. But managing the growth has been something that has been an important task for you and the town council and the planning folks. And how do you feel about the way that has done? Because as a citizen, I think you've done a pretty good job. But are you pleased with the way that's been able to pan out?
We are extremely pleased. With the new additions that have come online in terms of the growth that we have experienced, it just didn't happen. Again, it took a lot of planning, making sure that we had, the appropriate resources in place to support the development that has taken place. And so we are extremely pleased with the wonderful growth that we are experiencing and that we have experience, and it's been controlled growth, and it's been balanced growth, and that's been important to us. We just don't want to have growth occurring on one side of the town and the other side of the town being ignored. So it was important to us to make sure that we have balanced growth throughout the town of Knightdale, and that's what we're beginning to see, and that's the exciting piece to me.
Mayor Robertson, in terms of some of the quaint nature of downtown Knightdale, I think that it's been important, I know for yourself and others in the leadership of the town there, to maintain and kind of preserve some of that history. And yet it's been really kind of amazing that you've also been able to add some things like a local brewery and other businesses along there that seem to be doing quite well, but yet haven't, ripped the heritage or the uniqueness or the beauty of the old part of town.
You are exactly right. And again, these are conversations that we have early on with folks that are interested in coming into the town and wish to set up shop in terms of being a business owner. That is important to us, the history of Knightdale and our downtown area. With Knightdale Station Park that has come online, we are really excited about that particular initiative, because what is happening and what you will see happening is that it's going to lead to redevelopment of our downtown, or what we refer to as our old town area. But with Knightdale Station Park, I kind of see history repeating itself. It seems like I lost my connection. Are you still there?
Yes, sir. We got you.
Okay, hold on 1 minute. It's nothing like technology. My apologies.
No, no, you're
fine.
Can
you hear me?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me? I can hear you. Are you still there?
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Something is happening with my phone. My apologies.
Oh, you're fine.
Getting back to Knightdale Station Park, the exciting piece about Knightdale Station Park, it's our first true mixture of use development. And so it was important for us to make sure that, you know, when we have this type of growth, that the growth contributes to the quality and improving the quality of life for our citizens. So it's important for us to, or it was important for us, and it is important for us to focus on those things, like making sure that folks have sidewalks, making sure that you have a wonderful park where family members can go and spend quality time, making sure that we have greenways and walking trails. And that's what we're beginning to see, and that's the exciting piece about it. But also, you know, if a person needs to walk to the nearest brewery or grocery store, folks are able to do that without having to get in their cars and drive across town. So we are extremely excited about what's taking place in that area, because it's going to lead to redevelopment of our downtown area. But with that redevelopment, we know it's important not to lose the history of Knightdale. And so we're really excited about what's taking place in downtown Knightdale.
Mayor Robertson, in terms of what's next, really going down towards the Raleigh end of things, I think that there's not a whole lot once you get to 540. I know there's a motel, I believe, being built right there beside 540, but how far east can Knightdale continue to go? Because there seems to be opportunity still out there in that Knightdale Station area and beyond.
Yeah, we can go quite a ways further east, and we are anticipating that growth will take place out in that area. And that's important because it would really connect us with Wendell. And so we have property that kind of overlaps with Wendell. And so with the growth that Wendell is experiencing, the growth that Knightdale is experiencing, we are looking forward to the type of growth that will take place out in that area. And then going back west, you know, we have some wonderful growth taking place. We have the Hampton Inn. We have an industrial park that is already online, and businesses are moving in. So that is going to aid with our tax base. And we have a new shopping center that's coming online where we will have some wonderful apartments, at least four new restaurants. There's been talk of a movie theater, but we hope that we're able to bring that to fruition. So, you know, some other amenities and services and businesses are beginning to take place, and it's a wonderful thing to see happening.
Our guest is Mayor James Robertson of Knightdale, and I always like to ask mayors about the challenges that you have. Now, I know that being closer to Raleigh, some of the infrastructure needs that a smaller town has, for example, water and sewer, I think you guys are hooked up to Raleigh there. But what kind of challenges does a smaller municipality face when it comes to infrastructure needs?
Well, you know, for us, we are in a wonderful position because we had planned many years ago for to make sure that we have adequate water and sewer to prepare for growth. And you can't say that about a lot of or some municipalities, but Knightdale has positioned itself for this day. So our challenges are basically the challenges with better transit out in the area. And so, as you can see, Knightdale right now, our population is around 14.5, and that's just in our incorporated area. So, you know, when it's all said and done, if you look at our ETJ area, you may be talking about 20,000 citizens. But if you look at the corridor of Knightdale Boulevard, it's not just Knightdale citizens. You have citizens from Wendell, Zebulon, Middlesex, Wilson, Rocky Mount, as far east as Virginia, coming and using that corridor. The wonderful thing is we have access to 540. We have the 64 bypass. But anytime you're dealing with growth and you have, you know, 64 people a day moving into Wake County, some of those folks are moving to the Knightdale, Wendell, Zebulon community. And so we have to be prepared to address, you know, some of these means of transportation and providing folks with the option of choosing how they travel or how they commute to work. So that's where our challenge lies.
You know, I remember back in 2006 or 2007 when the 264 bypass opened up, they said that it was going to take 20,000 cars a day off of Highway 64 back before it was called Knightdale Boulevard. And now 540. You know, my wife and I go to church, Mr. Mayor, in a part of town in North Raleigh that we never would have gone to if it were not for 540. It takes us 20 minutes.
Right.
And so all of this infrastructure in terms of transportation has really helped the town and its citizens. And so Knightdale is uniquely located to benefit from that sort of thing.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. And, you know, if we're going to continue to grow and meet the needs of our citizens, I think it's important that we work with other partners throughout the Wake County community to address, you know, some of these challenges. We have our local community college, which is 8 miles away. And right now you have some folks with whom I've spoken to that have the desire to go back to school, but they don't have the means of transportation. So we need to make sure that that's something that we focus on to better support the community. It's just like the military. We leave no citizens behind. And so we have citizens that, you know, for whatever reason, may not have the desire to no longer drive, but they do need to get around, whether it's to a healthcare facility or to your local grocery store. We need to make sure that we have a plan in place to support all of our citizens. And so I'm just excited about where Knightdale is centrally located. And, you know, like you said, 540, there was a time when I would go, if I'm going out of town or traveling, you know, my route to the airport would take me every bit of 35 to 40 minutes. Now that's cut down to about 15 minutes because I can just get on 540. And, you know, that has been a welcoming sight. And just to be able to get to other parts of the county.
Yeah.
And so I'm excited about where we are.
Absolutely. One last question. I always like to ask the mayors that we speak with, what prompted you to want to get into local politics? Because, you know, it's not like being, you know, in Congress where you're away in Washington, but, you know, you're in the food line in the gas station, and people can walk right up to you and say, "Hey, what about this?" So, you know, it's not everybody's not cut out for it. But what made you decide to throw your hat in the ring, Mr. Mayor?
Well, you know, for me, you know, my full-time job, I am an administrator at Way Technical Community College, which is the largest community college in the state of North Carolina, and we have 58 community colleges. I've been here for 27 years at Way Tech.
Wow.
And it has afforded me the opportunity to witness and aid in the success of the students that we serve. For a lot of our students, you know, this may be their last opportunity in terms of a career path. And so to be at an institution where you can actually see the fruits of your labor. And, you know, I often say we put folks back to work faster than any other higher ed institution. So to be able to do that, I know I wanted to do more. And I know that I knew that, you know, getting into local government, it would afford me that opportunity to do so. But also, I remember more importantly, at the age of five, around five or six, my mom, I'm originally from Wilson, North Carolina, my mom would get up in, you know, the cool October mornings, on the cool October mornings, and she and I would go around and she would get folks to register to vote. And I think that had a lasting impact on me because, you know, in November, we all would sit around the television and watch the returns of the election with Walter Cronkite. And, you know, it just had a lasting impact on me and just made me want to do more in terms of local government, in terms of giving back to the community and paying it forward. So this has afforded me the opportunity. I'm truly blessed to have served the citizens of the Knightdale community. I think we have one of the best municipalities in the state of North Carolina. We have wonderful people. We have a diverse group of people, and we have we have diversity in terms of programs and services. And I'm just excited to be where I am. But more importantly, I'm blessed and I'm truly humble to be representing the citizens of Knightdale.
Well, we certainly appreciate you serving the citizens of Knightdale and doing a good job. You're representing the town well, and we certainly appreciate that. Mayor James Robertson, thank you so much for being our guest here on What Matters in North Carolina.
Thank you.
All right. Well, that's my mayor, and I'll have to say hello next time he and I run into one another at the store or whatever. So we've had a big show today. Laura Trump obviously kicked things off very well spoken. Everybody that I talk to says, wow, she really is something else. And who knows, maybe in 4 years she'll run and certainly probably be a lot more, shall we say, a lot less controversy. But don't you wish that if you early voted, all of the ads would disappear from your Facebook and your Twitter? There's an app to work on. 4 years in the making. Somebody, let's get the folks at RTP, all the high-tech people, that when you early vote, it triggers your social media to wipe out all political advertising and all these crazy headlines. You know, can you, anybody, tell me what that was all about with James Comey, the FBI director, a week ago Friday? Oh, we've got all these new emails, and they're on Anthony Weiner's devices. Oh, a week later, well, fake, sorry, psych. Nothing there. Anyway, talk about crazy. Well, we will be back tomorrow with another great show. We would like to thank Mayor Robertson and Mayor Murphy of Kinston today for being our guests. Also, Laura Trump and Tanya Baker Nelson. We're doing our best to keep you informed on what matters in North Carolina. We'd like you to tell your friends and your family about us. Tell them to go to freedomactionnetwork.com. They can listen to the show there anytime. They can have it dropped right into their cell phone. And so can you, or your computer, via RSS feed or from the iTunes and Google Play stores. Tomorrow we'll be talking about what to expect on Election Day. And who knows, right? My name is Mark Shiver. Thanks so much for listening. We will be back with you tomorrow on What Matters in North Carolina.